Am I high enough? Can you see me all right?
I can see you just fine.
2020, how about that? Yeah, 20 years after the world was supposed to collapse and the computers were to fail, you remember? Here we go in 2020. Wow, how many of you have made New Year's resolutions? There's something you're going to do, you're going to commit to. Only one, two, three, four. All of you maybe have been thinking about that. We're 5 days into it. How many have already broken the resolution? I think we don't make them often because we know they're hard to keep, you know. But I was thinking yesterday, I said this next year I think I'm going to start eating a little better. Now, Ellie cooks low-fat meals. Debbie knows we eat pretty good in our house. But I thought, I can do better. I said, I'm going to do better on my eating. As I munched on my bag of gummy worms. I love gummy worms. Why do they have to taste so good? Why can't they be as good for you as broccoli? I hate broccoli. But, you know, there's all kinds of resolutions we should make and we could make. Eating better, exercising more, doing a better job with our finances. You know, there's a lot of things. How many of us made a resolution or we even thought about being a more effective, a more bold, a more powerful Christian? Oh, look at that. I was going to say, quite a few of you have been thinking about that. And you say, but Brother Ed, I can't be a Billy Graham. Of course you can. There's just one Billy Graham. There's only one great man that can get up and preach and stand tall in the pulpit and stuff like that. But you can be powerful. I don't care your age. I don't care your education. Are you born again? If you're born again, if you're a follower of Christ, you have the Spirit indwelling you. The Holy Spirit is the third part of the Trinity. It was with the Lord and God as they created the universe. Let there be. And everything came into existence. That's power. Let there be light. That's power. I want to remind you as you start on this journey of 2020, I pray it will be a different year for you. The only limitation to the Holy Spirit doing great things in your life is you yourself. God wants to do great things through us. I was in a comfortable place serving the Lord. I was director of missions here in Highbill. I'd worked with a local church in California for 60 years or so. And I got a call on the phone and said, I want you to go to Myanmar. I thought, what? I never even dreamed of that. But be open to what God might want you to do this year. He probably won't ask you to go around the world. He may. But whatever he asks you, go next door over the fence and back and talk to that neighbor. Help the needy person down on the corner. Say a good word. I was talking to our brother this morning. It's discouraging you look at the world today. This new explosion that's happened in the Middle East. Where's that going? We can get so troubled. As I counseled a while ago, we belong to a different kingdom. We don't belong to this world, folks. We're not going to end up here. We're going to end up there with the Lord forever. I want to encourage you this morning. But I want us to think about being more powerful. And you can be a little twerp like me. You can still be a powerful Christian. Amen, brother?
Amen.
Don't look at me that way. Turn in the book of Hebrews. Now, we don't know who wrote Hebrews. It's Apollos or Barnabas, some think Paul. Less people think Paul today than they used to. Doesn't matter. It's the inspired word of God. And one of the most powerful scriptures that have ever been read to you. I'll not read it again. Hebrews, that 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. What a power-packed two verses. We look at this next year. We need to make this our pattern right here. Right here. From cover to cover, this book speaks of power. Think of the creation as already mentioned. The burning bush that was not consumed with Abraham. The parting of the sea and the children of Israel went along on dry land. It just wasn't a freak of nature that happened to have the wind blow and they tried to explain away. God parted the sea on each side like that. You could see the fish swimming in there and they walked across on dry land. Think of the power that took. Consuming the altar to validate Elijah. The prophets of Baal were there. Fire came down and took it all away. Great power. The resurrection of our Lord, the epitome of power is the resurrection of our Lord. It overcame death and walked out of that grave. That's real power, folks. What about in the New Testament? Peter and John went to the temple and this man had been crippled. Everybody knew he was crippled from birth. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto you. Stand up and walk. And he stood up and his legs were made whole and he walked. Folks, that's power. That powerful spirit indwells every one of us. So don't get discouraged. Keep your head up. Allow him to use you in whatever way. Now, it's all different. There is no small task in the kingdom of God. It's all big stuff. If he asks you to do it, that's what he's asked you to do. He's gifted you to do it. He's indwelled you and he'll empower you to get it done. So don't back up. Don't doubt. But when we look at this scripture, first of all, look back for inspiration. Now, Jesus said, if you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. What did he mean? You set your hand to the plow, you go forward. You look back. What he was saying was, if you look back wanting to go back, not wanting to face the future, you want to go back, you want to live in the past. He said, don't do that. Now, but we need to look back for inspiration. And when it says, therefore, it meant the chapter previous. And it's what we call the Hall of Faith. Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Gideon, Samuel, and all the prophets. We have that great cloud of witnesses that are there beholding us, encouraging us to say, yeah, go. Get up and do it. We have the great cloud of witnesses. Paul spoke of the source of Timothy's faith in Second Timothy, that first chapter. He mentioned grandmother Lois and mother Eunice. Timothy had his grandmother and his mother. You know, on the first missionary journey, Paul went through. He came to Lystra. He was stoned. He was thrown out and they stoned him and he was like dead. And the people that were watching, I think that grandma and that mother were in that small group of believers. And I think they were watching. I think they had Timothy back here saying, you don't want to see this. That's just in my mind. But Timothy had that great, that grandmother and a mother that inspired him. Those post-biblical saints, Martin Luther, Adoniram Judson. I've been in him. I've seen his grave. Adoniram Judson was there 7 years before there was one convert in Myanmar. I've been there many times. And now the Christians are all over the place. He's a great inspiration to me. Dwight L. Moody, Charles Spurgeon. We have many post-biblical saints that inspires us. Saints in our past, what about your parents? Friends, teachers, pastors. There was Miss Betty way back in my past. Miss Betty was blind. Miss Betty was not attractive. In a worldly sense, she was spiritually. Every Sunday morning, without fail, you'd see her coming down the breezeway, feeling her way along. She'd find the door to the nursery, what we call beginners, the little guys in those days. And she would get in the middle of the floor. It had a carpet there, especially for her. She'd get in the middle of the floor. She'd spread her dress out. And the little children would come up into her arms. And she would love them. She would sing to them. Her eyes were not attractive, but she would sing, and they became attractive. My children sat on her lap. For years until she died, my children received birthday cards from her. Now, Miss Betty's with the Lord this morning, with great rewards, greater than many that stand in pulpits and preach. Miss Betty's an inspiration to me. That's what we do as Christians. We don't get overly discouraged. We look around at people that inspire us. John Kui Song, one of the most godly men I've ever known in Myanmar. He knew 8 languages. He founded something like 70 or 80 churches. He said, if they don't let us take the gospel through the door, we'll take the gospel through the windows. He was an amazing man. Sing Sing. Once we rode in a van without any shock absorbers and no air conditioner like they said there was going to be, all the way from Myanmar, from Yangon to Mandalay, 400 miles, took us 16 hours, bumping, banging, all the way there. We men were so tired, we were about to cry. I thought I was going to get sick almost. I was so tired. But little Sing Sing was about this big. She sang the whole way. She sang praises to Jesus. Then I found out she'd been on a train ride for 22 hours before that. And the trains in Myanmar weren't good. And she was singing praises to Jesus. I said, forgive me, Lord. I corresponded with Sing Sing for years. What a saint of God. We need to look around and be inspired. We need to look back for inspiration. Not to go back, but for inspiration. Secondly, look within to prepare. Tears come out this way and it makes me dry, so I got to fulfill it here with this. We need to look within. After looking back from the story, we look for in to prepare. The second part of that first verse. Throw off every weight that hinders you. You notice he gives us the validity, the power, the choice to throw the stuff off. He's not going to throw it off for you, but his Spirit's there to help you throw it off. Throw off the weights that hinder you as a Christian. Throw off every bad habit. Uh-oh, now I'm gonna be nosy this morning. 1 Timothy 6:11 says, but you man of God, you woman of God, flee such things. Argumentative spirit, watch out. Have you cultivated an argumentative spirit? It's subtle. It'll sneak up on you. You get into politics too much. You know, that can be, I have to back off from that sometimes. People that believe differently politically, I get rather hateful. God forgive me. We need to proceed with love. Be firm, but proceed with love. Envy, slander, evil motives, unhealthy love of money. Watch out. Materialism. How many are materialistic? There's a few honest people. I think we all are to some degree. But we need to throw these things off. Make the decision. I'm just not going to go there anymore. Throw off the good and go for the best. Some of our lives are so full of the good things we do, we don't go to the best things that God has for us. They can be a substitute. We've got to be careful. Throw off the sin which entangles us, the Scripture says. When I was a little guy, I've always been little, but when I was really little, we got television when I was, I don't know, 10 or 11 years old. Can you imagine no television before that? You younger people? But we got television, and I remember Tarzan. Johnny Westmuller. You remember Johnny Westmuller? How many remember him as Tarzan? Okay. I remember one film I saw, the movie, and he was swimming across a lake. They had an underwater camera, and he was swimming across this lake for some reason, and this octopus tentacle came up and got him by the ankle. Started pulling him down. More tentacles came and grabbed him, and he took his knife and he was slashing away. Now that's what sin does to us. That's a good picture of sin. It entangles us. We tell one lie, we have to tell another lie. We'll like quicksand. We'll go down under it. One puff, one drink, one negative word, one pill, one look, one evil thought. Careful with the internet, believer friends, men. Don't hit that button that you know takes you where God doesn't want you to go. I'm human like you are. Oh, you say, really? Yes, I am. But I remember when it first came out, and I hit the wrong button. I could see things I shouldn't see as a Christian. It's addictive. Addictive. I don't want indictive me. Addictive. One look leads to several looks. I said, God, I cannot be a minister of the word and go there. I pleaded for his spirit to help me, and his spirit helped me. I don't go there anymore. I shall not go there. I have determined I will not go there. Each of us can do that. It's time for self-evaluation this morning as we look at the new year. What about your attitudes, your motives? What about, are we complacent? Sins of omission. We leave things out that we know we should be doing. Run the race with perseverance that is set out before you. We're in a race. What an analogy here. Allegorical, athletic imagery. The Colosseum, I remember having been her years ago on TV. Carlton Heston, you remember that? Remember the chariot races? Oh man, was that something. For that day it was. That's the race. We're in a race. Roger Bannister. Who knows who Roger Bannister is or was? He was the first man that broke the 4-minute mile. They said it couldn't be done, but he did it. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, I'll read it to you. Do you not know that the runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. You hear that? Run in such a way that you will win. Now everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. However, they do it to receive a perishable crown. All the crowns we get, the NBA, the NFL, all of them, the crowns they get, the trophies they get, it's perishable. They will go away. But we, imperishable ones, therefore I do not run like one that runs aimlessly. I have a purpose. Or box like one that beats the air. I love that analogy. Someone just swinging nowhere. Instead, I discipline my body, bring it under strict control, so that after practicing to preaching to others, listen, I myself will not be disqualified. I went to Myanmar last month, and they asked me to, we began, there was 120 pastors from all over the country came. We had to turn 100 away. Next year, they're going to do it three different places so we can get more. And they asked me, the first conference we want, we're going to do church planting, we're going to do evangelism, we're going to do all kinds of things in this workshop atmosphere. But they asked me to develop a message, a workshop on the pastor's relationship with the Lord. And I did that. And it just went really well. We talked about their devotional time, how much time they spent with the Lord. And that is key to our being strong, powerful leaders in the future, is taking that time every day to be with the Lord. Paul said in Acts 20, 24, I count my life not as value to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry I received from Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. This world needs the gospel. It needs the love of God. And we need to be out there. We need to be bold. We need to be powerful. One of the most powerful Christians that led an unbelievable life was Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was the founder of the China Inland Mission. Listen to the numbers. We're used to hearing numbers. If this is a great athlete, what are these numbers? We want to hear the numbers, right? If a guy is successful financially, what's his numbers? What is he worth? 50 billion or whatever, richest man in the world. We always want you to numbers. Listen to these numbers. 51 years in China. Founded 125 Christian schools. Commissioned 800 missionaries. Recorded 18,000 conversions in that dark place. Established 300 stations of work. Recruited 500 local helpers in all 18 provinces. Wow. Now those are numbers. Those are eternal numbers. In Myanmar, we're up in Mandalay, way out there. It's as far as from this culture as you can get. Not one thing you see reminds you of anything Western. Zero. And we were there, and there was two pastors came down from Southwest China. We had a big meeting, and they come in. They had both been in the ministry for 35 years. They had never been ordained. They'd never had anyone put their arm around them and say, "You're doing a good job." They were both about this big, but they were giants. They came and they wanted to be ordained. They asked my colleague and I to ordain them. I said, "We can't. It has to be done at the authority of the local church." So there was a local church and the Association of Baptists there, and we did it under their authority. And the night we ordained them, they come and somehow they found these robes. And they come out, they were standing so tall. And we went through and I led in the ordination service. And at the end of it, we were going to commission them and bless them. And they fell on their faces before the Lord, crying like babies. We ordained those two saints of God. Not one word of encouragement up to that point. We put our arms around them. I placed my hands on them and we prayed for them. Now that's inspiration. Under the most dire circumstances. They had pastored for 35 years. Some of that time they couldn't even find a Bible. We have Bibles on every shelf in our home. Let me encourage you this morning, in whatever way God's calling you, to be faithful like that. Then it said, look up to Jesus to see us there. There's the key. You're not going to be able to do it unless you look up to Jesus. It says here, fix your eyes on Jesus, your focus. I remember there was a base runner, a baseball player named Andrew Jones with the Atlanta Braves. The reason I remember him, you remember him. The reason I remember him, he would get to first base, he'd pull his hat down, and he would look at the pitcher, and his eyes peered out from under that hat, piercing, and he kept his eyes on that pitcher, and he knew the movements. The second that he was going to go to the home plate with the ball, he was off to second base. I'm talking about focus on Jesus this morning. Just like that. You wake up in the morning, think about Jesus. Sometimes I'll be thinking about the world for 20 minutes. I think, forgive me, Lord, I didn't think about Jesus first. But we need to focus. Alex, I don't want to go too long here. Alex Hanold, however many of you heard, Alex Hanold, H-A-N-N-O-L-D, Alex Hanold. I have seen the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen in my 80 years the other day on television. I am not exaggerating. Unbelievable. Alex Hanold was the first man to ascend El Capitan in Yosemite Valley. Not the first to attend with ropes. Many have done it. The best climbers in the world done it. That's the biggest challenge in the world, by the way, for cliff climbers. He did it without ropes. How many of you saw that? It's called Solo Free, or Free Solo. You see that? I couldn't sleep afterwards. Never saw anything like it. He was like, they had this chalk bag, and he'd keep chalk on his fingers, and it'd be a little bump no bigger than that. And he would cling to that, and he would find another one or a little crevice. Then he would take his special shoes and he'd hit into the, and he went straight up 3,000 feet. I don't believe what I'm seeing. There'd be a big crack. He'd put his fist in it, his hand, and he'd double his fist up and he'd pull himself up. He did it in 3 hours and 56 minutes. Unbelievable, death-defying feat. Now, Alex Hanel focused on El Capitan for 7 years. He studied it. He climbed with ropes a dozen times. He charted the way he would go. The focus on El Capitan consumed his mind and body. He got the 10 greatest climbers in the world to be on his team. They had the cameras. But he didn't want anyone close to him. He didn't want to see anybody. And they got way off in the valley, way over on this cliff, with great big lenses. And they took that photographs and video him going up that most remarkable thing. But I'm talking about focus this morning. If he can focus on an earthly goal, can't we focus on a heavenly goal, an eternal existence with God? I'm challenging you this morning to focus on Jesus. I can go on with stories. I don't know if I've told this here or not, but I'm going to tell it again. One of the most powerful things in my life, I was preaching way out there in the jungle somewhere, and I had three interpreters. Hindu and Hebrew, all kinds of languages, and I would try to preach, and I'd have a phrase, and it'd go three times until I get my rhythm back. It's hard to preach that way. But after I got through, what I was doing, I had studied the different religions, and I was coming into the gospel of Jesus Christ from different directions, kind of being a smart aleck, kind of like I could do all that. I got through. I thought I'd done a pretty good job. Watch out. Some of the worst messages I think I've ever preached and had the best results. But I got outside, and this old man came up to me, really old. I called him the floppy hat man. Had his floppy hat on. He got me by the arm. He said, "Come with me, I want to talk to you." I thought, okay. You know, I went over there, he got away from the people. He said, "Don't do that." I said, "Don't do what?" I mean, his shirt wasn't hardly buttoned. He had only two teeth in front. I thought, who's this telling me not to do that? A little bit of pride came up. He said, "Don't do that." I said, "Don't do what?" He said, "Don't talk about Buddha, the Hindu." He said, "You talk about Jesus." And his eyes were just piercing. "You tell him about Jesus. You understand me?" And he shook my arm. "You understand me?" I said, "Yes, sir." And he just turned and walked away. Now that was of God. That's what we need to do in 2020. Tell them about Jesus. You can do it. Do it in your own way. Your own lifestyle. Your own personality. Don't try to be like someone else. Where God puts you, he'll give you a divine appointment if you're willing. He'll give you a divine appointment. I've had many of them when it was so automatic, so easy. I was in a town and country tire place. I was putting tires on my truck. And that is the most crowded place. They have a television, big lounge chairs, because there's always people. I walked in and there's no one in there. I sat down over here. Here come in this blonde-headed young man. He sat down over there. I looked across at him. I thought, something's going on here. Even the workers behind the desk had gone out into the where they were working. I thought, what's going on here? I said, "Hey, how you doing?" He said, "Fine." I said, "You got any kids?" "Oh, yeah." He pulled out his wallet and showed me pictures. I went and sat down by him. He showed me the pictures of his kids. I said, "Let me ask you a question. Are you leading them toward God or away from God?" You thought I'd hit him with a baseball bat. He just slipped down in his chair. Oh, he said, "I'm not." He almost started crying. I'm serious. He said, "I'm leading them away because I'm not leading them toward." I said, "You're not taking them to church and seeing they have spiritual guidance and know the Lord?" He said, "No." He said, "I'm a Christian. I know better." And we just had a moment there where I prayed for him. I went back over and sit down over here, and people started coming in. The workers come back in behind you. That's a divine appointment. If you're willing, That's all it takes. You don't have to know the Bible inside and out to help. But just be willing. God will use you in a way that's best for you. That's what I pray for you for this year. Focus on Jesus, the source of our faith. Faith originated with God, was passed to the patriarchs, Old Testament leaders, the prophets, right down to us. God is the author of our faith. Faith is embodied in the life of Christ. Faith is defined by the body of Christ. We need to learn to trust God, guys. We need to learn to have faith. Like the man that fell off the cliff, he grabbed the bush. He's hanging there by one arm. The roots are pulling out 300 feet to the rocks below. He's no Alex Handel. He was going to fall. He says, "Someone up there, help me." God said, "Yes, son, I'm here." "Oh, God, help me. I'm about to fall." He said, "Son, let go of the bush. Let go of the bush. Is there anybody else up there?" Is that what you're doing? Is that what you did last year? You read the word and you say, "I don't like it that way. I'm going to go this way." Tell you what. Read the word. Don't take from it. Don't add to it. Just read what it says. Let the Spirit deal with you as you read it. It'll empower you, enlighten you, if your attitude is right. That's what it takes, is your attitude. You have to be a scholar. You have to have an IQ of 150 or whatever it is, 210. Just be willing to obey the Scripture ahead of time, and then He'll show you great truths in the Word. I'm about to end here. The completion of our faith. He descended to a dirty stable, descended, lived in obscurity in a carpenter's shop, lived daily faithful to his Father, faithfully taught the kingdom of God. He taught his followers the secret of a spirit-filled life. The completion of our faith. Who for the joy that lay before him endured the cross. He went to the cross for you and I. Allowed the temple guards to arrest him. Allowed the high priest to try him. Allowed them to strip him naked. Allowed the Roman soldiers to beat him. Allowed them to place him thorns on his head. Allowed the nail to be driven into his wrist. Allowed them to plunge the spear in his side. He voluntarily gave up his life. Powerfully arose from the grave, securing our salvation. Breaking forever the shackles of sin. He sat down at the right hand of God's throne. He's there today. Romans 8, 26 and 7. I'll not go there and read it. I'll just tell you about it. He said, when we pray, I'm talking about the mediators there today mediating for you and I. He said, when you pray, you don't know how you ought to pray. You know, we don't. You ever pray and think, I don't know how to do this. I don't seem to be getting through. What's wrong with my prayer life? Read those verses. Romans 8, 26 and 27. It says, the Spirit utters sounds that we can't make. It's God's sounds. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I'm just talking about the Spirit utters these things. He indwells you. He knows your mind. And then it says, He, listen closely, that knows the mind of the Spirit, mediates for us to God, and He knows God's mind. So what happens when we pray? There's the prayer, there's the Spirit, there's the mediator, Jesus, there's God. Four people. I call it praying in four-part harmony. So when you pray, the Spirit is going to take your utterances. The Son is going to mediate. And they're going to, once it gets to God, it'll be the right kind of prayer, if your motive is right. Transcended the Father, He's sitting there as our mediator today. And finally, I'll close. Look ahead to 2020. We've looked back, we've looked within, we've looked up to Jesus. Now we need to look ahead. Every one of us have a year ahead of us. I trust we'll come out at the end of the year. I'm not sure I will. I take one step forward and two steps back physically, it seems like anymore. Look ahead to be a more powerful follower of Jesus. Determine that. Ephesians 1:19 says, the immeasurable greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His vast strength. Oh, that's power. Let me read that again. The immeasurable greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of his vast strength. Jesus said, all power is mine. That's about everything. All power is mine. Therefore, go into the world, the Great Commission. Make disciples. Baptize in the name of the Holy Spirit and God and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And teach them everything I've told you, and I will be with you to the end of the age. That's our marching orders. It's the Great Commission. Appropriate this vast power through prayer and reading of the Word. I don't believe God is interested in empowering lazy Christians. Wherever you are, wherever God's put you, whoever He has as your friends and neighbors, He's put you there for a reason. And I don't care your personality, I don't care how timid you are. Just allow the Spirit to give divine appointments. You can talk to people. That's all I'm telling you this morning. Therefore, to live a powerful Christian life this year, we need to look back. We need to look within. We need to look up. And we need to look ahead. I've tried to lay it out as best God has told me this morning. And as I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. I'm looking in the mirror. I said, Ed Adams, what are you going to do with the gospel this year? I know I'm going to Lima in March. I'm doing that much. My wife Ellie says, I don't think you should do more than that. I was talking to a brother a while ago, and, you know, others see our failings as we get older, and it's harder for us as we get older to see that we're limitations. I think I went into Lone Pine and preached the other day. It's 3 hours up there and 3 hours back. You think my son and my wife thought I was going to drive in a ditch or something. But I made it without their help. But I'll tell you why. I can't do anything for the Lord without His help, without His Spirit and His guidance. So focus more this year. Get you a place. Do you have a place? Do you have a time? Are you disciplined enough to say, I'm going to study the Word and I'm going to pray every morning? Now, some of you younger ladies, you have children and they get up early. I understand that. But you need to do it. We need to get more serious about what God wants us to do. Thanks for listening to me ranting and raving. Ellie always says, Ed, calm down. Don't get so wet. I can't help it. You know, it is there. Let's bow in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for seeing us through 2019. Help us to look back and learn some lessons and be inspired. Help us, Lord, to look within and prepare and look up to Jesus. May the people here just find a renewed energy, a renewed commitment, sense of ought as they serve you this year. Help them to support this pastor in the direction he's leading. Help them to give generously to this building project. May God bless this body and in so doing, reach this community for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Want the music people come, and if you plan to, and do a little music. And here she is right here. I'm going to be down front. If you want to talk, if you want to pray, you come down on the altar here. Stay where you are. Whatever God's leading you to do, you do as she plays through the music. Everybody stand with me. Make that personal commitment this morning to the one that created you, the one that has a mission for you. Pray that He reveal that to you and He'd empower you to do it. This year, starting today, make that commitment where you are. Thank you. Father, for this scripture we read this morning, the inspiration we get from it. Help us all to apply it in our lives and become more bold, more effective, more powerful Christians. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.